"Where have you put Jesus?" Those words may have been asked by Mary Magdalene when she came to the tomb and found it empty, or by Peter and John when they came to the tomb and found it empty. But it is not that occasion to which we refer this morning when the question is asked, "Where have you put Jesus?" As you look at the outline that's on the back of the worship bulletin this morning, you will see three blanks. I'd like for you to write in each of those blanks one word as the lesson proceeds this morning. In fact, if you are honest with yourself, you will write one of two words in each of those three blanks. And the word that you write in each of the blanks will probably have a far-reaching effect on the decision that you make at the end of this service as to whether or not you're involved in Bible class, whether or not you are here tonight for Vacation Bible School and the evening service, whether or not you make your plans to be involved in every service of our gospel meeting, whether or not you are involved in helping people and serving Christ on a daily basis, visiting with others, encouraging others, helping others. I believe the answer that each of us gives to the question, "Where have you put Jesus?" will have a far-reaching effect upon what we do from day to day. In the first place, put Christ up or down? All of the passages that we will be using to really emphasize these points will come from Galatians this morning. We have sung one of them and read the other. But on this point, I want you to look at something that's in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning at verse 3. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom," to Christ, "be glory forever and ever. Amen." That passage suggests to us that each one of us ought to put Christ up. We ought to put him on the throne. Notice two words in that passage. First, the word "Lord" in verse 3. Jesus ought to be our Lord. He ought to be our Master. Have you put him on the throne in your life? Or have you put yourself on the throne, making decisions each day that are more of a selfish nature, more of what you want, more of what you desire, whether or not is what Christ wants and what he desires? In Acts, the second chapter, in verse 36, as Peter came to the conclusion of his sermon, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." There's our word "Lord" again. Jesus needs to be the Lord in your life. He needs to be the one who rules. He ought to be the one who is on the throne. The 20th chapter of John, we have described two visits Jesus made to his apostles. You remember, I'm sure, that the first time Thomas was not present and the second time he was. Thomas doubted the report that he received from the first occasion, but when Jesus reappeared some 8 days later, he showed Thomas the prints of the nails in his hands where he'd been nailed to the cross, and he even told him to put his finger in the print in his side where the spear had pierced his side, and forthwith had come blood and water. Whether or not Thomas touched him, I don't know. But I do know that he saw the evidence. And he said to him there in John the 20th chapter in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Thomas was convinced, and he put Jesus up. He put him up on the throne in his life. He really saw who Jesus was and what Jesus meant to him and meant to the world. And he said, "My Lord, my God." He put him up. in his life. Where have you put Jesus today? In Ephesians 5, 23 through 24, a passage that we normally think of as describing the husband-wife relationship, which in reality was intended to do more to describe Christ and the church relationship, we find that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let every wife be to her own husband. As the church is subject unto Christ, that means that each individual Christian is willing to submit to Jesus Christ, to place him on the throne in his life, and let the decisions that are made on a day-to-day basis be made from the standpoint that Jesus is on the throne in my life. I have put him up. I hold him up. He is my Lord. He is my head. He is my Savior. I have put him up. If you're honest with yourself this morning, can you truthfully say, I have put Jesus up in my life? Or would you have to write the word down in that blank and say, I'm still not crucified with Christ. I am still taking care of myself, and I'm making the decisions without taking Christ into consideration. I've really put him down. Where have you put Jesus? I hope each one of us can truthfully say, I have put him up on the throne. But think of it from another angle for a moment. Thinking in terms of the song that we sang a moment ago from Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice the little word in. Christ liveth in me. Where have you put Jesus? This passage indicates that the truthful answer and the good answer to this is, I have put Jesus in. I have put him into my heart and into my life, and he dwells in me. The verse also says, I dwell in him, and that's another point for another time. But particularly it says, Jesus dwells in me. I have put him in me. If you cannot answer that way and put the word in that blank, then you would of necessity have to write the word out. Because if you have not put Jesus in, he is still on the outside. You see, as described in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time, before they became Christians, they were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That verse says that Christ was on the outside and God was on the outside, but the next verse says, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. These folks were at one time putting Jesus out and leaving him outside, and now they had brought him in. They were in him, and he was in them. Where have you put Jesus this morning? In Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, on the inside, not on the outside. In Ephesians 3:17, Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That faith comes by hearing the word of God. Therefore, when we go to God's word and we find out who Christ is and let him literally be our Savior through the acceptance of that word and obedience to it, the Bible says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. He is on the inside. You remember the invitation that he makes in Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I will come in. Has Jesus come into your life? Has he come into your heart? Or is he still on the outside? You must of necessity put one of those two words in that blank. Where have you put Jesus? You can honestly say, I have put him in, or I have put him out. Because he is either in your heart and in your life, or he is outside. He's one of those two places this morning. Where have you put Jesus? But again, look at the third chapter of Galatians. This time, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's our word put in that verse. Where have you put Jesus? He said, if you have been scripturally baptized into Christ, and perhaps that little phrase there means into Christ's likeness as well as entrance into Christ and into his body. But he says, when you became a Christian, when you were truthfully baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You put him on. Can you honestly write the little word on in that blank? Where have you put Jesus? If you cannot put the word on there, you'll have to write the word off. You've put him off. You've left him off. And you've put off obedience to him. If you have not put him on. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 describes the Christian life as salt and light. Ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world. And verse 16 particularly shows the idea that's involved in this passage when he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. An analysis of that verse, accepting the fact that we glorify God by being Christians, is that you ought to live in such a way that you will lead others to Christ. And you do that by being seen as the salt and the light, or from another standpoint, Jesus being seen in your life. How many times have you heard down through the years that you may be the only gospel that other people will see? Paul referred to this idea in 2 Corinthians 3 as the idea that the Corinthians were an epistle being heard and seen of all men. He said, you need to live right because other people are looking at you. If you have put Christ on and you are wearing him, they see him. As you wear him in your life. That's really the idea that's involved. In fact, if you stop and think about it for a moment, we got up this morning and we put on clothes for two reasons, for protection and for appearance. And in the same sense, when we're baptized into Christ, according to this verse in Galatians 3:27, we put Christ on us. That means we're in him, therefore we put him on and we wear him for protection and for appearance. Protection has more to do with ourselves, protecting us from the power of sin. His blood will do that when we put him on and we wear him. But appearance has more to do with our relationship to others, whether or not he is literally seen in our lives. Talking about a wife whose husband was not a Christian in 1 Peter 3, Peter said that this woman, if she lives right, even though her husband won't listen to the word, can win her husband to Christ as he sees her behavior. In other words, as he sees Christ in her. What's she done? She's put Christ on. Where has she put him? She's put him on. And she lives a chaste life where it's not what she's wearing as far as clothing are concerned and how she fixes her hair and the jewels that she wears, but it's that hidden man of the heart that is seen in her life. In other words, Jesus is seen as she wears him. And he says that's sufficient to convert somebody to Jesus, even if the person will not open up the word and look at it and read it. Because she put him on. she's able to win her husband and to bring him. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now, did you get the impact of that? He said, these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If you see me following Christ, you follow me. And he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, this pure faith that I see in you, I saw first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. He said, Timothy, your mother and grandmother have been wearing Christ. I've seen this faith in them. They put him on. And so have you, and I see it in you. Where have you put Jesus this morning? As people see you this afternoon, as they witness your actions throughout the week, as they see what you do and hear what you say, will they think of Jesus, or will they think of something else? And if you cannot put the word on in that blank, remember, you're going to have to put the word off. If you've not put Jesus on, then you've put him off. And it may be that you have put him off as far as obedience is concerned. Remember that invitation of a moment ago, open the door and I will come in and sup with you and he with me. Remember how many times you've been persuaded to be baptized into Christ and put him on, put him in, and put him up, and you haven't done it, you've put him off. Or you have once been in Christ, but you've become unfaithful and you're not really living for him where he can be seen in your life. You're putting him off, and you're encouraged to straighten that up, to get rid of those sins, to have the right relationship with Jesus, and you won't do it. You're putting him off. Where have you put Jesus? Have you put him up or down? Have you put him in or left him out? Have you put him on or continue to put him off? If you do not have Jesus up in your life, in your life, and have put him on, you need to do something about it right now as together we stand and sing.